Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to talk about ways parents can weave equity into their family life and their parenting. So today I have special guest on Liz Dempsey Lee. And Liz is a mom, an educator, a writer, a speaker, a consultant, and most importantly, she specializes in teaching all about equity. So I'm very excited to have her on today. Thank you for being here, Liz.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Christine. It's a pleasure to be here.
I want to start off by just a very quick definition of what equity is, so that we can all be on the same page as we start our conversation.
I like to describe it as thinking about sort of fairness within the community context so that every person, or in this case, every child within a community, has access to the things they need to become functional adults.
Why does it matter to me as a parent now to really learn what you're going to be teaching us a little bit about today?
Well, I appreciate this question. So I'm going to start off just by talking a little bit about what is considered to be sort of good parenting and what is considered to be successful parenting. I ask parents, first of all, to kind of dive into these ideas and try to think about whether in their communities, the ideas about good parenting and successful parenting are reasonable. So what's happened over time has been that our ideas about what makes a good parent, what makes a child successful, have become pretty narrow. And what that has done actually is put a tremendous amount of pressure on parents. And so many of us, I don't know about you, but many of us end up feeling like we're always doing it wrong. So when you start thinking about equity, one of the first things you have to think about is what are the expectations that your particular community has for you as a parent, and what expectations does your community have for your child, and are they reasonable? Our main goal, right, is to have children who are happy, functional, healthy adults. And sometimes the definitions of good parenting become so narrow that they actually veer away from that ultimate goal. And I can give you a quick example. So in my community, I live in the Boston area, and probably unsurprisingly, we have a very traditionally academic view of what it means to be a good parent or a successful child. So we want our kids, or there's a lot of pressure on us to have our kids be good at everything that they do in the academic realm, whether that actually suits the child that we have or not. So how does this relate to equity? Well, one of the first things is that if you have a very narrow definition of what you should be doing as a parent, then you're actually leaving a lot of people behind, a lot of parents behind who can't, you know, meet that definition, who don't feel it's reasonable to meet that definition. And more importantly, we're leaving a lot of kids behind because some of these definitions are so narrow as to be not even useful.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's so much pressure on everybody. Nobody's happy in that scenario. It doesn't matter if it's the child who still can't feel like they're living up to the expectations of society or their parents, or the parents feeling like they're failures and that they're not living up to the good parent standard. And being a parent has increasingly become more and more full of pressure, I would say, with the media and the social media and just all the expectations of society. And I hope that with the Impactful Parent, we start to move away from that. Why should parents incorporate equity into their parenting style?
We're often told that our parenting is very individual, right? And to a certain extent, that's true. Like, you're not going to come and like bail out my child if there's an issue. But our communities actually really are like ecosystems. So if you think about like if every child in your child's classroom dropped 2 plastic straws a day for a week, we'd have this huge mess of plastic straws around your child's school. Right? So it's that kind of idea that individually, there's not a lot of responsibility there on the surface, but collectively, if everyone acts in the same way, that action kind of ripples out into the community, and that can be for positive or it could be for negative. So plastic straws, it's negative. But then over the last couple of years, we've seen that if everyone then pays attention to not using plastic straws, we can have that same kind of ripple effect, but in a positive way. So parenting, even though we're often told like it's your sole responsibility, it actually doesn't exist like in this vacuum. And that's why we feel all this pressure. So in a lot of ways, like what we do as parents can have longer term impacts in our school communities or in our broader community. And what other people do as parents also can have that same effect. And I can give an example. So as I've said, in my community, sort of academic success is highly valued, right? And there are a number in our area of, let's call them like after school math programs that charge a ton of money. I mean, you could talk like $5,000 for a year of extra classes. So it started, one of these programs started maybe 15 years ago. And then, you know, a couple parents make the choice and then they start talking to their friends. And then their friends sort of think, oh, well, their kids are going to be more successful than my kids. So then I also have to do this. And then you have this kind of ripple effect where all of a sudden it's the norm of your community to all pay a lot of extra money for math classes that, you know, fit that narrow definition of parenting, but actually don't necessarily create a happy, healthy, functional adult, and also don't actually work well for every child. So considering what we're doing, right, really matters, because we need to be very mindful of our parenting practices and think, is it the right thing for my kid? Is it the right thing for my community? And does this parenting choice, does it actually have the desired result, you know, that I think it does? And there are a number of ways that you can kind of separate yourself from that stress. And then I guess separate yourself from the stress and then think about it in a way that will allow you to make a less anxiety provoked decision, if that makes sense. And I can actually give you an example if you want one.
Yes, please.
Okay. So like I said, I have two teenagers, and here in Boston, most kids take the SATs. I know that's not the same various places around the country, but the goal, the parenting goal for SATs is to get as high a score as possible. So the way I think about this is, let's say within my community, I have two children and they are exactly the same, you know, just make them exactly duplicates. But this child has a family with a lot of extra resources and this child doesn't. So this child then takes extra SAT classes. They have an SAT tutor. They're able to take the SAT multiple times. So we know from the research that the child who engages in all this extra work will actually see a substantial increase on the SATs. We also know that the SATs actually don't really predict how a child does in college. So it's important to know that too. And then what you have is, on paper, you have this child whose family has more resources appears to be more successful than this child who has the same profile, because this child wasn't able to take the SATs multiple times, wasn't able to have a tutor or take special classes. And so this is where our parenting actions can kind of reinforce inequities. And again, in my community, it's very common for people to pay for their children to go through all of these kinds of extra activities. Whereas these children, who are equally as successful academically, equally as capable, are left behind. And that's where we as parents can unwittingly, right? People are not doing this on purpose, but create or make inequities within a community even worse, just through something as simple as that.
Yeah. And that's the story of everyday life. We all don't have the same amount of resources. We all don't have the same amount of anything. We're all coming from different places. and can provide our children different things depending on, I mean, some parents can invite a plethora of resources for their children, but then they don't supply a plethora of love and time and attention at the same time, right? So versus another child could get a lot of that. And yeah, so I mean, it's just, and in the school system, oof, don't even get me started there. That's a whole different realm of dealing with the equity balancing game. Yeah. And now I'd like to make a comment too also about your conversation about equity and how it affects the entire community, because it really does. Our lives leave fingerprints on everyone, and our children and how we grow our children will leave our impressions on them, and they will leave impressions on others. And so it is really important to look at your parenting as a collective, and that we are better as a community when we have really strong parenting networks, which is exactly why I do what I do, is I want the kids to be healthy and strong and grow to be great community members. So what are a few concrete actions that parents can take today to get started on trying to be more equitable with their children?
Sure. So to start out, I talk to parents, first of all, about really paying attention to the messages that they're receiving from their community. And the words to look out for are when you're sort of wrestling with a parenting decision. Are you thinking, oh, I have to do this, or I must do this, I should do this, or everybody else is doing this? Those are signs that you're not approaching this parenting decision from the perspective of what your own child or your own family needs, but you're kind of listening to what other people in the community are saying is important. And it's important to remember that these kinds of trends within the community may or may actually not be that useful. So it's important to just root yourself back in what your own child needs, and make your decision from there. So oftentimes, that kind of a decision will actually feel physically uncomfortable. And I once had a teacher say to me that when you get that uncomfortable feeling in any part of your life, that pay attention. That means that there's something going on there that you should just, you know, try to get to the bottom of. So if you hear yourself saying, oh, I have to put my child in a soccer clinic, otherwise they'll never be as good at soccer as their peers. And that was the community I grew up in, actually. Everybody played soccer well. Actually, not everybody. I didn't. but that was, you know, that was the goal in my, you know, community I grew up in, was to be a good soccer player. So, you know, if you're like, I have to do this, but my child doesn't want to do it, then take a step back, evaluate, try to figure out what's actually going to be best for your child to become that happy, healthy, functional adult.
I love the idea that when you're talking about how do I make this choice for my child, really asking yourself, why am I making this choice? And that's really what you're saying. Why am I making this choice? Why is it so important that my kid's in soccer or the after school math? And that could be a really hard question for parents to ask, because you have to be super honest with yourself in the answer to that question. Am I doing this because Linda next door is doing it too, and I really want my kids to be just as good as hers? Or am I doing it because my kid loves math and they actually want to excel in math? And I think it really comes down to also parents not making all the decisions. We need to ask our kids, what do you think about this? What do you really want? And listen, and not pressure them into activities that they're just not all that excited about. And starting that conversation of why are we doing this activity? Why does it bring value into your life? And I think it's really important.
And also not to underestimate the value of downtime for kids, even in learning. Like, a lot of times people feel that kids need to be busy all the time, but actually the opposite is true. The downtime serves as time for the brain to process and sort of embed some of the learning.
Yes. And we'll clarify, parents, that when you give your children downtime, because we do feel like, I think there's a pressure, we got to keep our kids busy, because if we don't keep them busy, then they're going to get into trouble. Yeah. And so there's that stigma that happens that we don't want our kids to get so bored that they're going to find something that they shouldn't be getting into. But downtime can also be a walk in the park, a reading a book and sitting down for a while and reading for 20 minutes. I think parents can be a little creative with what the definition of downtime is, so that you don't feel like your kid is doing nothing. They're doing something, but it's something that also is a little bit more on the relaxed side. It's something that allows their brain just to process that information that you're talking about, which is, again, just as important. Otherwise, they get burned out. Great messaging. I just love it. What else do you have for us as how parents can really incorporate equity into their family life?
So another thing that you can do, and we've been talking about like somewhat about these inequities in schooling, how resources can make a difference. When you are at your child's school, we are there to ask questions about our child's education. But I ask parents to take it a step further and to actually ask what other children need too. Because we're human, we usually think, oh, like the way that I do it is the way everybody does it, right? I mean, we all think we're right because we live in our own bodies and our own families and deal with our own children. But actually, the kids in our community have a lot of different needs that are different from what my children need. And so when you're in a school setting or a community setting regarding kids, find out, you know, what's best for your child, what your child needs, but then expand your question. Try to go broad and say, you know, how is that different or the same from other children? Or what kinds of things wouldn't I expect the school to need to do because they don't apply to my child? So just expand the conversation. So I think the last thing I want to say is that oftentimes as parents, we're afraid to have hard conversations with our kids. There has to be a way for all of us to be able to have these conversations that are messy, hard, and kind of stuck in the middle. And your child actually needs those skills for adulthood. And by having the conversations with them, even if you make mistakes, you can start them on that journey. So that's like probably my biggest piece of advice. Just talk to your kids. And if you want to say, like, I'm thinking about this idea in our community, this man was arrested. I think it happened because of the color of his skin, but I don't know. And I'm really confused. That's all you need to say. You don't have to have all the answers.
I love that you don't have to have all the answers. And just to tell your child, you know what? I don't know, but let's find out together. That statement is so powerful to kids because they can see that, yeah, my parent is human, but guess what? They're going to help me find what I need to know. So, so powerful. I do have one last question for you, Liz, and that is, you know, equity is everywhere around us. And we hear kids talk about it inadvertently all the time. Well, Liz's family gets to have a cell phone at age 13, and I'm already 15, and I don't even have one yet. You hear things like that all the time. It starts there. You hear it in schools all the time. How come they get extra time on their exam and I don't? How come they get to have a recorded something and I don't get to have that? And in schools, teachers really try to explain that the accommodations and how, you know, everybody's a little bit different. But do you have any suggestions for parents when these equity issues, even as small as cell phone use and they get to go out longer, their curfew is different than mine, because it really does start there, and then it grows into those bigger issues of race and ethnicity and intelligence and athletic abilities that come a little bit more seriously later. But it starts with those simple things like the phone. How can parents start those conversations early with those simple little things?
I'm laughing because the cell phone conversation is one that my son, who's 11, is trying to have with us now. So I'm feeling this really personally at the moment. But yes, I actually feel like when these issues come up, when kids are bringing you these issues of fairness, right? If we go back to the original definition of equity, it's like fairness so that everybody is getting what they need to be a successful adult, and understanding that that is not a one size fits all. And we know that, right? Life teaches us that as parents. We've experienced that ourselves. So just because this family is, you know, has a cell phone or has a later curfew or whatever it is that they have, it doesn't mean that it's appropriate for our family or the family next door. And for every family, you know, that lets their child have a cell phone at 11 or has a curfew of 12 and not 10, there are, you know, a bunch of other families that doesn't let their child have a cell phone till 16 and has no curfew at all because the child's not allowed to go out, right? That there's this sort of give and take and balance. One thing that I do with my kids, and I'll be honest, they get frustrated when I do this to them, is I always say, you know, I'm open to hear your arguments. You want to make a case with some points and, you know, bring it to me and I will hear you out. And I want them to sit down and to kind of do some of the critical thinking around the issue, to get at some of the maybe parameters or guidelines or issues so that they bring them to me and we have a conversation. I should say, I don't do that with every issue. I have, like many parents, I have a couple hard stops, right, in terms of behavior. So there are some areas in which I won't allow them to do that because it's a hard stop for me. It's a hard no. But in something like a cell phone that's going to happen eventually, it can be an ongoing discussion between me and my child. And if you call me back in a year, I'll let you know how that's gone.
Yes. And it is all about starting that conversation. And I think that's the bottom line, parents, is that you start a conversation with your child about equity when even it's the little thing of them saying that isn't fair, whether it's a sibling or a friend that they're trying to compare themselves to. But anytime that your child is starting to learn to compare themselves to anything outside of themselves, that's when equity starts. And that's when these conversations need to begin. And it starts with, hey, give me your side. Let me tell you why I feel the way I feel. And let's start this conversation to see if we can come into a balanced decision. And it just is so much growth there that will happen early on if you can start these conversations early. And they don't always go well, and they're always really, really difficult. So, you know, I know I'm saying this and it sounds so easy, parents. It's not. I understand, but it does start with the conversation and you just gotta, it's a tug and pull, and that's all, what parenting's all about, right?
I often say, as parents, we change as much as our children change over the course of their development. It's a steep learning curve for us as well.
Oh, I love that too. Yes, it is. And if people would love to learn more about equity from you, Liz, where can they find you?
Sure. I have a website and I blog. So that's my name. So it's LizDempseyLee.com.
Well, go and find Liz, parents. She has a lot to offer. But until next time, you got this. We're just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge, browse the free resources, or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.